Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Covington playing Levine, topside three ball, bam! Onions, baby onions! Zach Levine in the Bulls!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Levine to White, this time he gives it to Williams for three.
The rookie! The Pooja! What a shot!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Are you flat out kidding me?
Matt Peck used to do a great job with the Bulls Outsider Show. Now he's doing Locked On Bulls.
There he is, human floor burn.
Oh, don't mess with the Pooch.
But what's his crossover? Bulls bird of free league ghost.
Oh my goodness.
So kick back. I'm not. Relax. And get ready for the best hour of your day.
You can just see the vibe.
And these guys are men.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
I love it. Pass to Levine with a right-handed jackhammer slam. Oh, my goodness, that was filthy.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _Peck. And at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On Bulls sent you. Matt, welcome back from the weekend. This is going to be very quick between you and I because we have a very special crossover episode of Locked On Cavs to present to the people as we played the Cavs earlier this weekend and we have a matchup against them again this week. So very excited to talk to Chris and Evan. But first and foremost, how was your weekend? How you doing, man?
Jordan, what's up? What's up, Bulls Nation? Looking forward to kicking off this YouTube stuff. It's nice to see your face, buddy.
Very true.
It's the one-year anniversary of episode one of The Last Dance dropping, so of course I had to rock my goat hoodie today. Shout out to my guy Big Dave, one of my favorite Bulls-related presents I've ever received. We had a good time chatting with the Cavs guys. Some commiserating between two struggling teams, if you want to put it nicely.
That's for sure, man. And we get into it in the podcast, but it was nice to pick up a win. Maybe we just either forget about the Grizzlies loss on Friday and just chalk that up to, hey, we're not going to talk about it because we have a crossover, or we could revisit it tomorrow depending on how Boston game goes, right? But that's what we've got on deck. Locked On Bulls, Locked On Cavs crossover here. You can watch us on YouTube, as Matt was mentioning. Hello to everybody on YouTube. If you're listening to us on the podcast right now and you're like, hey, I actually want to see these guys, I like watching podcasts on YouTube, go subscribe to our channel right now, Locked On Bulls. We'll start posting our videos every single day there. So if you want to watch us instead of listen to us, or you want to do both, you can do that. Go subscribe at Locked On Bulls on YouTube. Without further ado, though, here is our crossover with Locked On Bulls and the Locked On Cavs guys.
Every time I look out my window, it's pretty depressing out here, man. It's bad.
So you're not going out?
No. No going out in Cleveland, man. It's all factories.
Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. We have a little special Central Division playoff adjacent crossover. Evan Damrell is here with me, and then I've got the Locked On Bulls guys, Matt and Jordan. Guys, what's up? How's it going?
Hey guys, how are you?
What's up?
Not too bad. I'm good. Chris, how you doing? It's Monday for us, right? Yeah, it is Monday.
Yeah,
so.
That is the day of the week, Evan. Thank you for being aware of what day of the week it is. Thank you, buddy.
No problem.
You're really on top of it. You know, just you're better at trolling me than you are knowing what day of the week it is. So I appreciate
fair,
the bits.
I forgot Central Time was a thing, so I sit down in front of the computer.
That's true.
At like right before 2:30, I'm just like, all right, where are they sending the link at? And Chris is like 3:30 our time, boss. And I'm like. All right, I'm going to go read a book for a little bit and chill out.
That's what happens anytime. Everyone tends to think Ohio is in the central time zone for some reason. And I'm just like, I get it because we're sort of like in that cluster of Midwest. But, you know, it is what it is. But we're talking after the Cavs played the Pistons – or excuse me, the Bulls. I am so off. It's Monday. Played the Bulls over the weekend. Playing tournament stuff adjacent. Cleveland is sort of – to all the models you can look at, kind of already had them as a very thin chance of making it. The Bulls have a little better of a chance of making it, although it's still sort of tricky. Looking at the 538 model right now, the Bulls have a 3% chance of making the playoffs. The Wizards, who are a little ahead of them in the standings, are at 6. The Cavs are under 1% with the likes of Detroit and Orlando in the Eastern Conference. Guys, let's just talk about that game for a little bit, because my first reaction was I sort of like was going through my notes and was like, oh yeah, Lauri Markkanen had a good game. And like seeing all the Bulls people I follow's tweets, I was sort of surprised by the fact that Lauri kind of did some stuff. What was your guys' take? Because that was like my first thing when I was looking back through my notes that kind of surprised me before we dive into some of the actual stuff that maybe matters a little bit more than that.
Matt, would you agree he's the most polarizing player on this Bulls team this season? Like as far in terms of players that we talk about consistently?
I mean, I think at one point he was, but I think over the course of the last month or so, when Lowry got his demotion to the bench after he'd been a starter his entire career, most of the fan base took that as a sign to be like, okay, well, he didn't get moved at the trade deadline, but he's pretty much out of here when he hits restricted free agency this offseason. We just got the official dates earlier today as far as when the moratorium lifts, when free agency officially begins in early August. And I think Lowry is going to get an offer sheet from some team out there who thinks that they can fix him, right? But I don't think that the Bulls are going to match it. So it was weird to see him not only have some decent minutes, but especially closing in that Bulls-Cavs game this weekend, because he has not been closing for the Bulls this season.
I unfortunately riffed on Lowry a little bit, and comparing him to one Primo Pasta, Andrea Bargnani, and he definitely shut me up Saturday night. And it's especially worse because Chicago's coming off a back-to-back and Cleveland had a day of rest. Like, I had high hopes for the Cavs in this game. I don't know about Chris, but I had a feeling that Cleveland might come in here, because even pregame, like the Cleveland broadcast crew is just like, this Chicago team is playing horribly lately. And I'm like, okay, I'm believing it. I'm buying it. My everything I believe is being reaffirmed. And Chris, how did you feel about this game for the Cavs? And more so Lauri, how'd you feel about him? Because, you know, that's a player a few members of the Cavs contingency in covering this team has a soft spot for when it comes to maybe free agency this offseason.
Yeah, you knew I'm kind of out on that as a thing, just because I watch like teams put threes on him and I'm just like, I'm sort of good. But look, seeing how the Cavs reacted post game told me a lot about it more than anything else. Like Darius Garland was like legit bumped, and he's not like the most, how do I say this nicely? Verbose guy. Yeah. Vocal's a good way of putting it. Like vocal guy with the media, right? Like he's very quiet, he's awesome, very reserved. Man. Yeah. But like, he was generally like grumpy and like upset that they lost. And like, this game didn't have like the most massive stakes in the world, but the Cavs haven't played a meaningful game since like 2018. This was like the closest thing they've had for a meaningful game. But like, this is a team that is like less than 2 years removed from Larry Drew being like, I actually hate basketball now. I don't like want to be here anymore. Like this team has been awful since LeBron left. And as tends to happen, you lose arguably the greatest player of all time. I will not work with I will not come on a Locked On Bulls podcast the day of the Last Dance anniversary and say definitely LeBron is better than Jordan. I will not get myself fired here on the network. But like, this game like meant something. Yeah. No, I honestly, like, I see the shit talking on clips on Twitter and I'm like, all right, I'm all the way in.
Chris, what will get you fired on the network is you tell David Jordan didn't push off. That's what it'll be.
Rudy Gobert is actually MVP, David Locke, if you're listening.
The Utah Jazz might be a sore spot for Matt this week, just considering one of the three alphas now owns or majority stake, right, in Utah.
The three alphas. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
What is Dwayne Wade doing? What is he doing?
Okay. But the best part of that is not the Wade part of it. It's the Mickey Arison press release that he sends out. And then they have like a social media graphic that someone had to spend their day making, or at least part of their day making. Unbelievable. Oh, right. My goodness. The NBA is quite stupid sometimes. But like, did you guys feel like this game mattered to the Bulls? Like, I obviously know you don't have LaVine, and I obviously know they're trying to make the playoffs, and you get Vooch and everything that has gone on with that. But like, did you feel like this team is like Cleveland was sort of viewing this game as like, okay, this is maybe not like everything for us in terms of the whole pizza pie or whatever, but is it something that like was on the radar in terms of they needed to win and then kind of figure out where they're going from there in terms of staying in the playoff hunt?
I feel like games have been that way, Matt, right? Lot of these games this season, especially after the second half started with the All-Star game starting, making the trade at the trade deadline, those types of moves meant to at least Bulls fans in the short term, the fact that, hey, it's time to make the playoffs. It's time to get LaVine some playoff experience. While the trade might have been more of a commitment to LaVine long term and saying, hey, we want to win here, to me, it felt short term. It's like Billy Donovan has said and preached all season that they need to win games, and the Bulls have found miraculous ways to blow games late in the fourth quarter this season. This one felt like they needed to win, especially their losing ways over the last couple of weeks. Matt, I think you feel the similar light and the frustration that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, stakes were high in that it was a get-right game. No offense to your Cavs. I mean, but we couldn't even figure out how to beat Orlando, which is the team that we just took their best player from. Like, the loss of Orlando was like rock bottom this season. Like, oh, Wendell had a double-double, and we all look like fools. It was like, okay, calm down, Bulls Twitter. But, I mean, I always zoomed out and looked more towards big picture, even when they made the Vooch trade, to say, okay, Vooch, Zach LaVine, and Patrick Williams, those are the only three staples that we know are very likely to be here next season and beyond. Lowry's probably leaving. Kobe White certainly does not look like the point guard of the future for this team. Yeah, if you want to make the play-in, then it was a must-win game because you were dropping games left and right. Like, darn the Bulls and the Cavs for ruining my streak of making money betting on the Bulls to lose, because that was just, like, instant money in my bank account for a good week and a half there. As far as big-picture stuff, no. Like, the stakes weren't huge, but they certainly, if they want to make that play-in, can't afford to drop games to your Cleveland Cavaliers. More On Deck with the guys from Locked On Cavs in just a second, but first wanted to tell you all that today's episode is brought to you by Indeed. You're the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview, all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. You can choose from more than 130 skill tests or add your own, then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet those requirements. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job posts at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Again, that's Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar, I've been telling you guys about them for almost a year now. They have been with us that long, and we love Built Bar. They've come out with brand new flavors, it seems like, almost every day. So make sure you check out BuiltBar.com to see some of their latest flavors. Candy bars that you don't have to feel guilty about. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're great for the healthy conscious guy or girl in your life. Lose or maintain weight while you're indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low in calorie, low in sugar. They're high in protein and they're high in fiber. They're great for the keto diet. One of my favorite flavors. It's one of the most original, but it's got the best flavor. The peanut butter bar, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Make sure to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Now back to more of our crossover with the Locked On Cavs guys. Here you go.
Do you guys care about the plan? Because I find the Cavs Twitter is wrestling with this very question. And I think the players somewhat care. But it's one of those things I don't know how much it actually matters right now. I just don't.
We have very split opinions on this. Very, very split opinions. I take it from that the fact that Zach LaVine doesn't have a playoff experience yet. No, basically none of this team does, outside of maybe some of the new acquisitions. But if you think about it in terms of where do the Bulls want to be 3 years from now, considering that they're in year 4 of a rebuild, I think that's huge. I think playoff experience of any kind, even if it's a weird, shitty play-in game, who cares? Zach LaVine and the rest of the team will take that as a playoff game. And even if you get one game, who cares? The most important thing to Zach LaVine now is not making the bag. It's making the playoffs. marking his legacy as he starts to turn the corner. And he's in his prime now, so he wants to win. And to me, I think the playoff experience would be great considering where you traded your picks now at the trade deadline. That being said, the Bulls have not exactly come out with the fire and passion they would want to make the playoffs. So I feel like it's important to this Bulls team. Matt?
I mean, if you say that it's important for not only Zach LaVine's emotional health and mental health and confidence to make a play-in where they play one game maybe, or maybe two, okay. Like, I'm not going to deny that that is potentially a factor here for a team that has gotten really sick of losing in the years after the Jimmy Butler trade happened. But again, big picture, grand scheme of things, I don't think it's going to be a terrible thing if they miss out on this play-in tournament. I honestly think it's kind of silly. I know, like, you know, some fans are really into this idea. It seemed like it was just something to do for the bubble, and then they were like, oh, well, that was fun. We'll do it again. And so is it going to be just something that this is how it works for the rest of time in the NBA come April, where we're going to have – or May, we're going to have a play-in tourney? I think it's unnecessary, and I'm sorry, but it's like – it's how I felt when the Bears – ownership group said, hey, well, we made the playoffs as an 8-8 team, like, yay for us. And it's like, no, you can't say you made the playoffs as a 9th or 10th seed with a record that, like, the Bulls are 10 games under 500. Don't say that and be like, well, we made the play-in tournament, yippee. Like, no, clearly there's still work to be done.
So who's the Bulls' Mitch Trubisky?
Oh my god. Pick sadly, I think Lauri Markkanen.
Oh, okay. That's tough. Tough hangs there, man.
People want to hang it on Kobe White, which is unfair. And if you check out Kobe, just search Kobe White over the last couple of weeks on Twitter, and you'll right. see everybody, even nationally, are going after Kobe, too. But yeah, it's unfortunate.
I mean, at least as bad as the Bulls past front office was, like, we didn't trade up for any of those guys. Like, we didn't right. trade up for right. Lowry or Wendell. Or
Evan, I think the Cavs care. I don't know how interested like I am in particular, because I think there's like there is a gap between like teams in like 7-8 in the East to where Chicago, Washington, Cleveland are. It's going to be more interesting out West, because like Steph Curry versus Dame in the play-in tournament could happen, and I'm in on that. Like, if I can watch one game of that, that's fine with me. But but I also hear like Kevin Love talking about it, and he's like, so, it matters. Like, we need to learn how to win.
You're telling me you don't want to watch Colin Sexton go toe-to-toe with R.J. Barrett in Madison Square Garden?
Justin Rowan wants to. I absolutely
Jaylen Brown and the Boston Celtics.
Like, I have so much draft tape I have to crunch at this point. You gotta
learn how to crossfade, my guy. Consume two sources at once. But to answer your question, Chris, yeah, this Cavs team really has been hell-bent and determined. I said this when we were on the Chase Down. I said this last week as well on our show. This Cavs team has wanted they have been saying for a while that they want to make the playoffs, and they think that they're a playoff team. Colin Sexton set the tone in the preseason. J.B. Bickerstaff backed him up. The general manager, who speaks to the team 2 to 3 times a year, backed that statement up as well. And then you kind of just ask players offhand, like, hey, you're two-ish games, like, heading into this game matchup against Chicago on the weekend, you're two-ish games back from the play-in spot. Like, do you still think that's in play, or are you kind of looking towards the future? I asked JB about that, and he's like, yeah, that's still a focus of ours. Yeah, we want to try and remain competitive and be the best team we can be. He gave a good coach answer. He's like, I just want to go out there and see marked improvement every single time these guys take the floor. But I think this team is tired of losing. They, record-wise, have been like one of the worst teams in the league since LeBron left, and I don't really see much signs of improvement. But at the same time, I mean, you can't like track it with record stuff, but if player development, you're trying to get rid of the stink of losing, I think that's a good way to go about it. And Chris, the odds are stacked against the Cavs heading into this game, just grand scheme of things against Chicago, and probably especially doubly so Wednesday when they play Chicago again. I think it's good for them to try and be competitive, but at the same time, I think I'm just a little bit more, I'm a cynic and a realist when I know that this Cavs team isn't going to be a serious playoff threat, but hey, it could be fun. I don't know. I think it'd be a little neat if they were able to make that push. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. All right, so I'm going to ask you guys this before we move into what Wednesday is going to look like and some of the rest of the show. Did anyone on Cleveland in particular impress you? As someone who, you guys haven't watched, obviously, the Cavs as much, did anyone on Cleveland's end kind of jump out to you when you're watching that game?
Darius Garland, holy crap, can that dude pass? Holy crap. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm jealous. I'm a little jealous, I'll be honest with you, because that was a guy Matt and I talked about back and forth for months leading up to that draft. I'm thinking about, too, Isaac Okoro. I think Isaac Okoro is another guy Matt and I talked about religiously as a potential piece for this Bulls team leading up to the draft. Obviously, they both went to Cleveland. I'm impressed by both of those guys. Colin Sexton has had a nice bounce back. I've been trying to keep track a little bit on the Cavs, as I bet, as well across the NBA. But still, I think the most impressive thing that I've seen from this weekend alone was Darius Garland. He had one play where I think he threw a bounce pass in between two Bulls players for a dunk, and it was just like, oh my Lord. Both of those guys, though, super impressive.
I mean, clearly, the player of the game for Cleveland was Dellavedova's 0 points in 11 minutes off the bench. I swear, I forget that dude's still in the league until we play Cleveland every once in a while.
He's had like the worst year because like he gets a concussion in the first preseason game and then he gets his appendix taken out. And then it's like, hey, Deli, we need like an adult who's going to like move the ball. Can you please play? Oh, it's rough for Deli.
I still have it out for Deli for that dirty ass play he did against Taj Gibson in the playoffs a few years back where he locked legs with Taj and Taj ended up being the one getting ejected. It was complete BS. Deli can go to hell.
That was peak Deli for sure. That and the Hawk stuff is just absolute peak Matthew DeLuca.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll echo what Jordan said about Okoro. Like, clearly he struggled shooting the ball his rookie year, and we all knew, you know, just from doing our draft homework from his collegiate performance, that he wasn't a great shooter and was probably not going to come into the NBA as a rookie and be some you know, a perimeter shooting threat. Man, when you see what he can do on the defensive end, like I get giddy thinking about what could have been. Like, clearly they weren't going to end up with both of them, but pairing him with Patrick Williams and watching those two grow together as like a defensive stopping duo with all that length and all that defensive versatility is really cool. And, just knowing how much the Bulls are lacking in perimeter defense right now, in quality wing defenders right now, I'm definitely jealous that you guys got a pretty solid piece in the Okoro.
More with the Locked On Cavs guys in just a second, but want to tell you first about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The MLB is in full swing. The NBA is counting down. It feels weird to say, but the NBA is in less than 20 games till the regular season is over. But you can still bet on every single one of those games, including the Bulls game tonight. You want to bet on the Bulls and the Cavs later this week, you can do so as well. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. I will tell you, I did once in a probably a lifetime thing this weekend betting. I didn't hit just one, Matt. I didn't hit just two. I didn't hit just three. I hit four parlays in the same game. Four parlays, and they weren't just like 5-1 odds, 7-1 odd parlays. The lowest odds on one of those four parlays was 76-1. The rest were above 100, so it was a great weekend.
You had money on like KCP putting up like 20+ points or whatever.
It's all about KCP. It was all about KCP.
Five threes, right?
Yes, KCP had 18 points and 5 threes in the first half. I took him at 20 points and 5 threes. It was 5 to win over $600, and it hit. So you can do all of that at BetOnline. Go there, make it a free account right now. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they'll give you a 50% welcome bonus for signing up. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up for a free account. Download their app as well. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now back to our crossover with the Locked On Cavs guys. Here you go.
That's how I felt about Patrick Williams too, because I just thought like he was good in that game. Like I know he's had like some issues scoring, and of course had kind of a lot of the same issues. But like I liked what he did a lot in that game. I'm also like a Vooch guy. I love Vooch. Like I understand if like you may be reticent that like. Like, and this is one of the ways I sort of think Cleveland and Chicago have like some similarities in terms of what they're doing. It's just like they both have these like older guys who are better than their best young players that are playing in the post a little more, that are going to do some that can space the floor. And Vooch, I think, is certainly better than Kevin Love at this point. Kevin Love also had like an awful game. And that's one of the things that Cleveland was kicking itself about, was Kevin just missing all those threes. But like, I think there's something too. Like, both these teams are trying to figure out who their young guys are that matters. who ultimately sort of is going to be part of what's going forward. And I think you have some guys that clearly look that way. Like Levine obviously is kind of the head of the pack for Chicago. You know, depending on where you are in Kobe way, like I could see someone talking themselves into that. But then you go to Cleveland and it's like, okay, you have these other guys, but Kevin Love is still sort of like this very useful piece. And just, I think Vooch is just like, he's really good. Like he's really good. And I again, I understand like maybe the payoff isn't there right now. And that I'm sure you guys have like listeners or when you guys do locker rooms or whatever, they're getting like, do you get people that are like push back on the Vooch of it all in terms of like the price?
I think we did. We had a few, especially after the losses right away. They were like, what are we doing? But we could have had another top draft pick. It was supposed to be an evaluation year. I wasn't so sold on that, but I'm with you. I think Vooch is great. And look, we've been crying since the day we trade Jimmy Butler to add another star to this city. We did it now. So it's going to take time. I said be excited about next year, not necessarily what you're seeing this year.
Right. And Bulls fans by nature are irrationally impatient.
That's true.
And we all have PTSD from a front office that thankfully finally was ousted last year. But we all just assume the worst always. So, and it wasn't even after like dropping a bad loss to Orlando. It was soon after the trade. The Bulls are in a stretch of playing 9 out of 10 games on the road. They don't have any practice time for their new pieces. And they lost close games to like Phoenix and Utah, the two best teams in the entire league. And Bulls fans were like, this trade was a mistake. Like, guys, calm the F down.
Fans are like that. I haven't had some thoughts.
Defensive. How did fans react when Kobe White was taken to the bench? I'm just morbidly curious. Chris knows where I'm going with this.
Oh, you're okay. And then he's going to be like, it's actually Chris that is stirring up the Sexton debate. Unbelievable.
I am curious, though. How did fans react when Kobe was benched?
There's definitely a population, like a sub-segment of the fan base who are big believers in Kobe White, especially when we saw what he did towards the tail end of his rookie year. When everything else was going wrong for this team, Jim Boylan was a laughingstock across the league. You know, their key guys were going down with injuries. And Kobe White just had this stretch where he, you know, he was Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month in February because he was reeling off all these games where he was just drilling threes, pouring in 30-plus points a night, and then finally earned a starting spot in their final game before the pandemic shut down the season. So clearly I am someone who watched him as the starting point guard for the first 40 games of the season and said, yeah, nope, that's enough of this experiment. It's nice to see him have a couple of good bounce back games when he was put back into the starting lineup because of Sato's unavailability. Like he had a 20 plus point night and then he followed that up with I think 9 or 10 assists against Cleveland on Saturday. So I'm in the middle. I have not completely given up on Kobe White as a useful piece and a good NBA player for the Bulls or somebody else. Mm-hmm. But do I think he's a starter in this league? No, not right now.
Can I ask you guys something really quickly? Just considering we're talking about the guards, has Cleveland fans debated about like struggles either from Garland or Sexton since they've arrived? Like struggles either maintaining the offense, not necessarily shooting, because Kobe is a great shooter. We know even with his struggles, that's going to come back around. But it's more so like kind of knowing his role. And that's been, I think, the most frustrating thing about Kobe White in his 2 years with the Bulls. Have you guys had similar conversations with Sexton or Garland at either point?
Chris, do you want to open this can of worms or do you want me to go ahead with it?
Look, the short answer is yes, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like... the Garland thing is a little more clean to explain because like he came in after that injury at Vanderbilt and was like, he looked really rusty and not like quite NBA ready last year. Like he just wasn't there. His body and his ability to know what to do in the game and everything has just sort of coalesced this year in a way that has made him really pop, I think, and become really, really interesting in a way he wasn't last year. Like he last year, he didn't have like the lift a lot of times to get off like 3-pointers. Clearly now he's doing really well at taking sort of deeper threes and stuff. There's little stuff that sort of has popped for him. With Sexton, it's like he was the pick that like the Cavs didn't use to go all in the last LeBron year. And then the team has like nominated him for like, except it's like the last like 2 weeks, every single player of the week award. So if people don't know this, I just want to make this explicitly clear. Teams nominate players for these awards. Colin Sexton, even like in his rookie year, was getting nominated for these like Player of the Week awards. Like it was like a bit. I don't like it was
Cavs
nuts.
And also, Cavs fans don't think that's strange when you have like Giannis Antetokounmpo and other players playing in your own conference.
Continue, yeah, it's Chris. Like it's just like chill. But like he also like got hit. There's an Athletic story like very unfairly like 3 months into his rookie season where like all the veterans in the locker room were just like, this guy doesn't know how to play. Blah blah blah. It was not hard to figure out like who said that. It's just I will tell you guys after we're done. But it's tricky. And then the fan base now is just like so hellbent on defending Sexton, I think, in a way that is makes it very hard to discuss him, because I think he's clearly a very good scorer. But like, I don't know, like he's not the same as LaVine to me because like the size is so different. But like in terms of LaVine, sort of sometimes like Vucevic is a great fit with him because you're going to set a very simple reads for him, right? Like you're not always going to rely on LaVine to make the complex reads or manipulate guys in the way you sort of maybe want your apex creator to. Sexton sort of has those same limitations. Like I and there's like definitely an argument that like
he also has an option somewhat in Jared Allen. Like Sexton has made the obvious easy reads when Jared's wide open. Like he made a really good pass night where I'm like, yeah, well, good job, Colin. You would not make that read a few games ago, or a few years or a year or two ago.
Right. I think you can just get to a point where like you look at what he does and he's producing at a higher level than these other guys, but it's also like You there's open questions. And again, like I think you guys would probably say the same thing about the Bulls. Like, I don't think any of the Cavs young guys have like made themselves immune to anything. Right? Like they're not immune to competition. No.
The Bulls problem is we have no confidence on this team. Like Lauri Markkanen goes out there, takes two shots, misses both of them, then he mopes for the rest of the game. Like that's the Bulls problem is they don't have infighting. It's nobody has any confidence in each other. It's like, oh, Zach's not in. Okay, I don't know where we're getting points tonight because I don't want to shoot. It's weird things like that. It's a confidence issue more than it's a battle between people or opinions on younger guys. It's fascinating to me because of the way that Bulls fans react to our younger players, comparing it to a different market and a Cavs team that I think, like you said, Chris, I think that it's multiple levels of parallels you could make between the two organizations trying to rebuild. So I was just fascinated by that. By the way, real quick question. You guys are keeping Jared Allen long-term, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Chris actually asked Kobe about this. Kobe said it's better to have him in-house than to try and pursue him in free agency. So, and then he also called him a franchise cornerstone of the future, which is basically telling Andre Drummond they were done with him in that moment in time. So it just got a little weird with Andre still starting and the future coming off the bench.
I thought that was one of the like the low-key awesome steals for any team on deadline day was you guys getting Allen. You know, obviously Brooklyn swinging for the fences to get their three alphas together and making that happen and beefing up the roster in other ways. But I mean, I thought Brooklyn had a great piece that he could anchor that team for years to come. And, you know, I'm stoked and obviously a little jealous, too, that you guys got in. Because Jordan and I had talked about Jared Allen a lot as a piece that this Bulls team should go after if we decided, which we did, that Wendell Carter Jr. was not this team's starting center of the future.
Never forget the Bulls had that 17th overall pick in that draft where he was selected, what, 20th, I think, or 21st?
Yeah, something like that.
I believe so, yeah.
Nets. So if the Nets have the three alphas, do they also have a leadership council?
It's a leadership committee.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
I'm not sure what the difference is between those two things.
Sorry.
But no, that is a phrase that we don't say anymore, like we don't utter the name of the coach who used to be here anymore.
That's fair. That's very fair. I wouldn't either. There are certain Cavs things we can just refuse to mention as well in a lot of ways. But let's wrap up. Let's get towards the end here on this, guys. What are you looking forward to on Wednesday? Because I just want to see, for me, it's just all about do the Cavs like give a dang about the game? Because I don't know if they will.
That was so Midwest of you to say it hurts. They give a
dang. I didn't want to swear. I didn't want to use a swear, Evan.
That's good.
I'm expecting the Bulls to come out and try to capitalize on their last win, and they need to continue to prove that they can beat teams that they should beat, especially without LaVine. That's no offense to the Cavs team, because I still am confused of how you guys beat a Kevin Durant Brooklyn team earlier this season.
Colin Sexton had the game of his life.
How's that
even nuclear?
Well, even Saturday, I don't honestly like the Cavs rolled out like that, like Sexland plus three big lineup, and then we're like, we're also gonna play three bigs with a core and a guard, and it somehow like got them back in the game. My brain still doesn't quite understand how that happened. It doesn't really make sense to me, honestly.
You throw something unusual at the Bulls, and they'll be confused at least for a half a quarter. The Bulls also don't have a great defense either. Outside of if Patrick Williams or Thad Young are not on the floor, then it's open season. But I think the biggest thing I'm going to be looking for, Matt, is do not let Jared Allen have a massive game, because that's something I was surprised at this weekend, that he didn't go off. And the Bulls have been exposed time and time again with giving up paint points and just being absolutely obliterated in the paint. So stop Jared Allen. Hopefully Sexton and Garland do not care about this game and we pick up another win.
Yeah, and speaking of points in the paint, to me, that was the key for Saturday night's game, when the Bulls almost, once again, as you said earlier, Jordan, found a way to lose, you know, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. They just, like, forgot that they had Vooch for a quarter. And then with, like, a few minutes left in the fourth quarter, it was like, oh, yeah, maybe we should just give the ball to Vooch and let him go to work in the post. Which they did. And yet, like, yeah, he also hit a big three late, but they got on the ball inside. The Bulls did not get to the free throw line. I think they only took 9 free throws on Saturday night, and that was their 7th or 8th straight game with fewer than 20 free throw attempts. Longest streak in franchise history. This team is not aggressive enough. So speaking of trying to prevent Allen from having a big blowout game, how about you attack the paint and try and get him into foul trouble early? That's what I would like to see the Bulls try to accomplish.
Chris, I think this is just going to be a rubber match for the Cavs. Hopefully, like you said, the Cavs are a little frustrated, a little disappointed that they weren't able to go in and win this one. They're kind of riding some good vibes of the team almost being fully healthy. There's no Larry Nance on Monday night. He could be not available Wednesday. He's out Monday for personal reasons against Detroit, so he could not be available Wednesday. So that could be a big blow to Cleveland, because Larry is starting to look like a little bit more like himself as just the tertiary playmaker off the bench, jack of all trades, master of none. And he's kind of a staple of that bench mob. So that's going to be an interesting development, but we'll just see how this team responds. Like, Darius was legitimately disappointed and he had a career game against Chicago. So maybe he comes back out with a little bit of ferocity, intensity. Maybe Kevin Love doesn't miss so many 3-pointers. There's a lot of variables and ifs, what ifs with this Cavs team. So I'm interested to see how it goes.
If the Cavs lose to the Pistons on Monday, I just will be like, I'm sure they might call it a day on Wednesday.
Dog,
like,
did you see the injury report for Detroit? They have like 8.
Oh, it is incredible.
Who's even logging minutes for that Detroit team anymore? Like, who's on that team?
Guys,
Saban
like
Lee.
Yeah, there you go.
Killian Hayes.
Sekou
James. I don't know if you guys follow James Edwards from The Athletic, but some like one of Pistons Twitter like made him photoshopped into like a Pistons jersey and like was like, all right, well, you're gonna play some minutes on Monday after he tweeted the injury report. Things are bleak for Detroit. They are also, no shade, they're probably the least fun team. I'm looking at the Tankathon right now, and they're the least fun team that could get the number one pick. That's my hot take.
Wow, you're just driving a knife in the heart of friend of the pod, Lazarus Jackson, right now by saying they're the least fun team.
Whatever. I just did a spin. I just got a spin, and they got number one. The Cavs fell to 7, and the Bulls fell to 9, and don't get their pick. So this is clearly rigged and a problem.
Right. Well, you know, just like us, if we can't say the Bulls fall out of the play-in and they go to the lottery and they get lucky and jump into the top four because that picked Orlando's top four protected.
Yeah.
Say we and Cleveland don't get lucky in the lottery. You always want it to be a team in the West, right? You know, especially not a team in your own division that lands the number one pick. You don't want that team adding number one kind of talent, whether it's, you know, Suggs, who we saw earlier today officially declare, or Cunningham or whoever else. Like, no. And it's Detroit? Nah. The hell with Detroit. We don't want them having the number one pick.
There's not, like, even a good option, though. Like, I mean, like, I don't – Minnesota's had enough lottery luck.
Yeah. You have Cat. More Minnesota.
You have Cat.
We need the chaos scenario, Chris, where the Wolves pick falls to 4, Golden State gets 1, they get Cade Cunningham, and they can take Jonathan Kuminga or Jalen Green, and then we can watch some shoulder shimmies for the rest of time, and Cleveland just gets angrier and angrier.
Oh, Lord. Let me ask you guys one last question before we go. If let's just say both these teams fall out over the next, like, we got, like, what, like a month left in the season, something like that?
16
games. We got 16 games left.
16 games for Cleveland as well.
Yeah, I saw like the Spurs and someone are playing like 17 games in 29 days, which is like just outrageous. But if they fall out of it, do you think they'll like shut it down and try to tank out the rest of the season?
That's a good question.
I mean, like, in the next week or so if they fall even further back?
Yeah, let's say like they lose like three in a row and it's like, okay, like there's just like our chances are really odd and like maybe Levine, like I don't know exactly what's up with Levine, or like maybe like Vooch has like picks up a little nick in between there and like he's not 100%. Like, you just shut it down?
I wouldn't be opposed to that. Yeah. I'm not sure what AK and Eversley and Donovan have in mind if they have to, you know, deal with that contingency plan if they drop some more winnable games that they have on deck. Because after, you know, we get a rubber match against you guys, and then there's, I think, another Orlando game in there somewhere. But, like, we also, like, we got to play the Heat in consecutive games coming up. We got to play the Bucks a couple of times. We still have the Nets on the schedule again. The Knicks, who are, you know, Tom Thibodeau, legend, actually a tough beat. They had an awesome win this weekend. And so I would not be opposed. If they slide to somehow three or four games back of the 10th seed, give Nikola Vucevic an injury on the injury report and just shut down. I don't know about Jordan though.
I think they don't have to tank though. Like, they don't have to actively do that because they're already losing games that they shouldn't. So
just true.
To me,
we were trying to beat Orlando and lost to them.
Exactly. Like that was absolutely the worst loss of the season. I think with the Levine injury, it's kind of tempered expectations for some of these guys. They probably know that best case scenario is making the play-in game. The Bulls have the ninth hardest schedule out of the remaining games that they have to play. They have the ninth hardest schedule in the NBA. So do I see the Wizards passing the Bulls? It could be very likely if Levine ends up missing what? I think they play four more games before Levine's 2 weeks technically where he could return. It's going to be tough, but they need to win the games if they want to stay competitive and make that play in. But I don't think they have to actively tank.
It's also going to be really a hard out tank, like a bunch of these teams. Like, who's on tanking the Magic and the Pistons and the Thunder right now? It's like impossible.
Right.
And the OKC doesn't care either.
A couple years ago, the Bulls were trying to tank. They failed. Like, you know, there was like the Niko Mirotić fueled 7-game winning streak at the back end of a meaningless season in the first season post Jimmy that ruined our lottery odds. But, you know, we had like Wayne Selden Jr. leading us to pointless wins alongside Antonio Blakeney 2 years ago when we were trying to tank. So naturally, if they do try and tank, I'm sure that Devon Dotson and whoever else they throw out there will somehow be getting some wins. Because the other factor is, as we get closer to the end of April and into May, a lot of these playoff-bound teams will take their guys that are key and just shut them down with fake injuries before the playoffs start.
Yeah. I'm just expecting a Denzel Valentine 50 piece now. That's really just what I'm expecting. Like Wednesday, just him dropping 50.
Flex on him, Denzel!
Oh my God! Incredible stuff.
If Denzel Valentine drops a 50 burger in an NBA game, I will walk into traffic on Lakeshore Drive.
You heard it here first, folks.
I'll hold him to that. Go.
Yeah, the whole network. This is going to be a community bullying into Matt having some serious medical bills. David Locke, give us health insurance, please. But for myself, for Jordan, for Matt, for Evan, this has been the Locked On Cavs, Locked On Bulls crossover. I did one last tankathon spin. The Bulls got the third pick in this one, so that's the Cavs went to eighth. So you guys got a good pick. The Cavs went to eighth, and that's
shut them down.
Jalen Suggs, Mobley, that could be a good vibe for Chicago. But for us, we'll talk to y'all soon.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.